Welcome back to Rocking Chair Rambles. All right. All right.
That's how we're starting it. So, funny podcast today.
Yep.
It's currently me in the host chair and Will in the rocking chair, old yes, chair too. But the podcast that you will hear today is three-fifths of Team Pippin, and it will be me, Alicia, and Matthew. Because this podcast was recorded earlier. Crazy busy week this week. And because I love technology and am so, so good at it, it did not come out the way it should. So the audio is, to the best of my knowledge, laptop recording audio.
That's going to be so bad.
Yeah. And none of the sound effects, like producer Ellie's little intro music and all that stuff, none of that will hear. I can see it on my side. We just won't be able to hear it in the podcast. So I had two options, Will. I could start over, record a whole new podcast, which we don't have time for. And shortly, you and I will jump in the truck and head to a wrestling match.
Yep.
And then we get on the road tomorrow. And we're not back until Monday evening. So, or I could just not put out any product, right?
No.
You can't do that.
Can't do that. So, and I was reminded, I reminded myself that I said I was putting out a podcast by Wednesday of every week. And it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it is Wednesday. So you have to.
I have to do it.
Consistency is key.
The thing that I came up with is you and I will try to put, say, 3 minutes of explaining on the front of this podcast right now. And then in a second, I will give you the music again. And you will hopefully immediately start hearing the podcast that was recorded incorrectly. Will and I will jump back into the end of it. Through the power of technology, it'll only take us 5 minutes to do all that. And you'll hear a 1 hour podcast. But I say all that to say this. It's episode 3. It's not going to sound great. I'm not sure if episode 1 or 2 has sounded great. You will be able to hear things that you wouldn't normally hear because I can't edit it. So if someone's eating or the microwave goes off, then just kind of giggle.
Yeah, a little bit of charm.
A little bit of charm. And then we promise to try our best to do better on episode 4.
So, I think Matthew did it.
I'm taking the blame for this one.
Oh, okay.
Buck stops at the top. Chair one has to take the blame.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for listening to the explanation, and I'll hit the music, and we will get right into episode 3 of Rocking Chair Ramblings. Here, I'm going to start that whole thing over again. Ready?
There you go.
That is audio via producer Ellie. We're back, Rocking Chair Ramblings, episode 3. That's awesome. We'll go over some stats today to see where we are and then just talk about fun things coming up. We are 3/5 today. So we were 5 out of 5 the first episode. We were 4 out of 5 the last episode. And now we're 3 out of 5. That would be the co-host chair, Matthew.
Hello, hello.
And E calling in again.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. And then me in the old host chair. So thank you. Episode 3, Rocking Chair Ramblings. Anybody want to take a guess as to how many people have listened to the podcast and how many people are following us on Spotify? Let me say before I give these numbers, it's a total guess because I don't know how to look at this. But some of these I can see. I just don't know if I'm looking at everything. Guess?
I think we have a whopping 7 viewers, and we have 3 followers on Spotify.
Greg? I would say outside of our nuclear family that live in this house, we probably have 4 subscribers, but in total 8 listeners, because there's some dual listening happening.
That is good. So, not to hurt anybody's feelings or let y'all down, I don't know how to tell you the answer to this. All other right. than to say, we've had 20 separate 100%, so they've listened to every second of the episode. We've had 20 since we started. 20 all time.
20 all time?
Yep.
And that's pretty impressive for 3 episodes.
And this is episode 3, so only 2 are out.
2 episodes.
So episode 1 received 12. Episode 2 received 8, so we lost 4. Right.
All
right.
Well, thank you to those 8. We hope you return.
Yeah, I feel like family has let us down and didn't even go to episode 2. So if you listen to episode 3 and you didn't listen to episode 2, family, you know who you are. And let's be honest, we know who you are also. And then on Spotify, we have 3 Spotify followers.
One of those are me, so.
That's good. So we have 2 Spotify followers. That's awesome, because I don't know how to follow on Spotify, so it's not me. Pretty impressive. And of those, let's see how many times it's been listened to. Okay, that's awesome. No idea. 4. That's pretty good. 4 people have listened via Spotify, and 3 of those people were like, you know what? Notify me when it happens again. This is awesome. So that's pretty good. That's,
well, 4 viewers and 3 consumption hours aren't very good.
That's 75%, Matthew. I don't know what you're talking about.
Considering marketing has only been word of mouth, I'm proud of you.
Very little word of mouth. I think because, well, really, I'm only telling the people who already listened. That's probably not
our only advertising is our own fans.
Fans. If you're on, if you are on the podcast, I tell you to listen to it. So that's probably not the best marketing. What do y'all think?
I think we need to branch out. It's time to buy some ad space, maybe a billboard in New York.
We ain't got ad money.
We don't have billboard money, buddy.
I think we can put it all together.
I think we're close, because it took us 40 minutes just to hit record this time because I couldn't hear anybody. So we're close. We're real close.
I think we have it basically all figured out.
Speaking of branching out, Carson Beck. That's what you call a segue.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I read it in a book called Podcasting for Dummies. It's a pretty cool book. There's 27 chapters.
That's another segue.
Yeah.
You just segued again.
Man, just all over the place. I'm halfway through chapter 1, so I just went ahead and started this podcast. It seems easy. Right?
I mean, you're just talking to a mic.
Just talking to a mic. And if you're the only one that listens to it, it doesn't really matter. Carson Beck.
Off to Miami.
Good riddance.
Ooh, say that again, babe.
Say good riddance.
We haven't been able to use the slap button yet. Wait. Oh, there it is. Good riddance. Good riddance. Do you want to elaborate, or you just want to leave it like that?
I just was disappointed in how he's carrying himself, and how he, I feel like, let the team down. And this wishy-washy, I'm going to the NFL, I'm not, just further speaks into his lack of vision and true desire of what he wants. Mm. So it makes me sad for him, because clearly no one's, it looks like from this perspective that he's not getting good advice and guidance and counsel. Hence why he drives a Lamborghini. But maybe he's going to the U to be with his lady, and that would be awesome. I hope they have a healthy relationship. And
he wasn't born in Texas, though. Maybe he's just going back home.
Yeah. Florida. Do you know where Miami is?
Well, it's like on the other side of Florida, but it's still Florida.
Okay.
I think, wait, Athens is probably closer to Jacksonville than Miami is to Jacksonville. Yeah, definitely. Isn't Jacksonville, like, really north?
That's why we call it Rocking Chair Ramblings. We can't let this get away from us. Go, Matthew. You're... okay. Wait a minute. Before you decide geography.
All right.
The mom says, hey, I just wish that he has people around him that are looking out for his best interest. And your response to that was, he is American. Essentially is what you said.
Well, he was born in Florida.
Okay. Geographically, if you're born in Jacksonville, you're not a Miami fan.
That's true. You're a Florida fan.
You are. Well, or a Florida State fan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he sabotaged Georgia on purpose. Oh.
Do you know where Jacksonville is?
It's, okay, picture Florida.
Yep.
You got the actual Florida. You got the random little stem that goes into Georgia and Alabama and a little bit of Mississippi. You know?
The actual Florida.
The actual Florida. Miami is like at the very bottom of that, like southeast, right on the coast. Because it's a beach town. Jacksonville is more north. Almost in that weird little boot area. The weird little trail in the swamp area. That's Jacksonville. And Athens is like central, maybe a little south. Athens. It's like of Georgia. So picture Georgia, the middle of Georgia. Go down a little bit into the west.
No.
Up a little bit into the west.
No.
Just in the middle of Georgia.
And up.
And up. Upper middle.
Would you say that Athens is closer to Valdosta or Atlanta?
Where's Atlanta's like dead middle.
Where's Atlanta? That's what he came up with, babe.
Atlanta's dead middle. So I would probably say it's closer to Atlanta.
Atlanta's dead middle. So here we go. It's putting out the podcast is super easy, but like editing and stuff is fun, but it's not super easy. It's a lot easier than putting out a video version, but it's comments and thought processes like these that make me mad that I don't have cameras set up. To just see Matthew's hand gestures and the fact that he's just so confident in putting Atlanta dead center.
Is it Atlanta? Where is Atlanta in Georgia? Hold on.
Oh, goodness gracious.
At least he got the right state.
He did get the right state. That's true. Put Jacksonville in a swamp, too.
Jacksonville's in a swamp. That's why they're the Gators.
Yeah. Okay, do you think that Florida is in Jacksonville?
No, Jacksonville's in Florida.
Do you think the University of Florida is in Jacksonville?
Isn't it? No, because we played our neutral site game in Jacksonville.
Yeah, we do.
What's the capital of Florida? Jacksonville.
Tallahassee.
They're in Tallahassee.
No!
They're not. Then what's the point of... Then where are they? Is it... Okay, Miami? Jacksonville? Aren't those like the only two important places in Florida? Like, where else would you go?
You do know that you have
family. Where do your grandparents live?
In Florida.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware. Tampa's also in Florida, I guess. But I was right about Miami. Miami is southwest. Jacksonville is...
No.
Jacksonville is really close to Georgia.
Yeah.
So Athens probably is closer to Jacksonville than Jacksonville is closer to Miami.
Maybe.
Wait, no, never mind, because you have to go through Jacksonville to get to Miami. Never mind.
The only two important cities in Florida are Jacksonville and Miami.
And then Atlanta's north. It's like northwest.
Yeah. University of Florida's in Gainesville.
It's in Gainesville?
Yeah.
And Florida State is in the capital of Tallahassee.
That's right.
Oh, because of the state university. Gainesville's really close to Jacksonville.
What are the major college football programs in Florida?
Florida State, Miami, Florida, UCF, USF. I guess that's it.
That's pretty good. Are they all in Jacksonville or Miami?
Well, you would assume, but USF is a pretty USF is a pretty small school, so I can put them anywhere. UCF is wherever in Tallahassee, because that's where they launched the rockets, right?
In Tallahassee, they launched the rockets.
Don't. Well, they used to do it in Alabama. I think they moved it to Florida. Did they launch rockets in Alabama at one point?
It's not your fault, buddy, for a myriad of reasons. You know, dang it, you're only 15 years old. Your mom doesn't work in anything to do with the government. Your dad didn't live in Jacksonville. Oh, and protect rocket launches. Or your granddad. There's no reason for you to know these things.
They do the rocket launches in Jacksonville?
No.
No.
They do it in Tallahassee?
No. No.
They do it in Gainesville?
No.
They do it in the middle of nowhere?
A place called Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Cape Canaveral.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The Tallahassee rocket launches.
Well, that's just swampland. Isn't it?
Wait, Tallahassee? Wait. No. Do you think that all of Florida is swamp?
Everything except for Miami.
Miami's not swamp. Okay.
Miami's beach. Jacksonville is just a town.
Sure.
Gainesville is also just a town.
Sure.
Naples is a retirement area and also a beach. And then the rest is swamp.
Okay. Do you know what town I lived in?
Jacksonville.
Okay. And what? Why did I live?
Jacksonville's a swamp city.
A swamp city. Why did I live in Jacksonville?
Why would you want to live in Jacksonville?
Why did I live in Jacksonville?
Because you worked there.
What did I do?
Railroad security.
That's right. Railroad security. Yeah. United States Coast Guard Railroad Security.
Oh, is that where the Coast Guard is?
Yep. The whole Coast Guard's in Jacksonville.
Everything, no, I mean like their base. Well, I guess it's in the Pentagon. Their base. Besides the Pentagon.
What is going on? I'm glad we're getting this on air, though. Okay. Let's help you.
Okay.
Where do we live right now?
We live in Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay, well, why do we live in this area?
Because it's really close to the Capitol and the Pentagon.
And? We just DC. Like... Okay, we just like the Pentagon? Why do we live here?
Because Mom works at the Pentagon.
There we go. All right, and then before this, we lived?
Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Why?
Because it was really close to the War College.
And why did we live there?
Because Mom went to the War
okay. College. And before that, we lived?
Here again.
Because?
Mom worked at the Pentagon.
Before that, we lived?
Texas.
Why?
Shepherd Air Force Base. Mom what? Worked there.
Okay, you see what we're getting at
yes,
now?
Yes, sir.
Why did I live in Jacksonville?
Because you worked
there. Okay. For who?
The railroad. The Coast Guard.
There we go. See? It's on me. Well, I've never told him.
You've had like 7 careers.
Yes. No, that is true. But...
Oh, this podcast. That's just Disney World.
This podcast is not only informational, it's educational.
That's right.
There we go. You learn something new every day.
The more you know.
Orlando is just Disney World, though.
And where UCF is. It's where your aunt and uncle met.
Yeah.
Oh, babe, you can't get him. You can't get him that far. You can't be like, that's where your aunt and uncle met.
Just trying to help.
I know, but like, he doesn't, I think he puts his grandparents in like...
They're in Naples. They're in the west coast of Florida.
Apparently.
He's pulled up a map now. He's trying to be slick. Did you hear him? They're in Naples. They're in the west coast of Florida.
No, I know that because they got hit by a hurricane.
Speaking of Florida.
Miami.
Where in Florida are you headed? In a couple days.
Panama City.
Whoa. For what?
Airbrush
t-shirts and spring break?
That and a snap invite only snapping showcase for underclassmen.
That's pretty cool. What's it called? Is it called the Future
Rising
Stars?
Rising Stars.
Future Stars?
Future Stars.
Future Stars. So you said it was invite only? Tell me about it.
I went to the one in Pennsylvania. In Greenville, Pennsylvania.
Who puts it on?
Kohl's. Not the department store. But they're a kicking, punting, and long snapping, like, group. They rank and they
Do they teach. Rank? They rank nationally?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you went to that one.
When I did go to that
How one. Long ago was that?
That was a month ago? 2 months ago? A
couple months ago, yeah.
I didn't get enough in that one. I got a 3-star ranking. I'm like number 18, I think, in 2028.
What does that mean? 18 in 2028. So you're in the...
Out of the long snappers in the nation, class of 2028, Coles has me as the 18th best. Thank you, thank you.
That's pretty awesome.
They also gave me a 3-star ranking, which could be higher. I looked at the other guys. I snap faster than the grand majority of them. I just was inaccurate because I was so far in my head on that day.
Yeah, for sure. But let's not be negative. The positive is
I did get enough to go to this thing in Panama City.
Invite only, future stars invitational. What do you think that means, future stars? What are they looking at?
Growing potential. It's like a teaching thing, and it's also a showcase.
All right, let me brag on you real quick. This is how Coles describes it. The Coles Future Stars Invitational is geared toward talented freshman, sophomore, and junior prospects. This camp is invite only. Coles has created this event for younger top performers we believe could be highly recruited in their recruiting class in the coming years. We will also invite top juniors who are right on the line going to the UC Challenge. This event is not designed for a beginning kicker, punter, or long snapper. Athletes must be selected after competing at one of the Coles 2024 Winter Showcase Tour events, which is what you did in Pennsylvania, which is pretty awesome. It's also awesome because you can be easily described as a beginner long snapper.
I've only been snapping for like 5 months, 6 months. Not even. I've only been snapping for like 5 months.
Yeah.
I started long snapping for the freshman team, and we installed a punt team a couple days before Langley scrimmage.
Before your season, the really scrimmage before the season started. So, yeah.
I mean, there are other people that have been doing this forever.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for you to spend some time with those people and get better. You?
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
I want the teaching because we have no idea what we're doing.
No, much like this podcast.
We figure it out as we go.
Shocker of all shockers, I was a defense guy and an offensive guy, considered what we used to call in the back in the day, quote unquote, bigs. I know you wouldn't think about it now.
Well, long snapper's like borderline big.
No, there's no.
I mean, they're small, but what they do.
Yeah, now they are. Long snappers are getting on up there, but our long snappers were typically whoever the center was.
Yeah, that's what a lot of teams did for a while, and then they were like, oh, crap. They need to do some punt coverage downfield.
Yeah, this could be an actual position.
Yeah.
So how did that go this year then? Long snapping, first time ever?
I got called up to varsity. Wow. I did their punt for a little while. And then for the playoff game, I started in the playoff game. And then also the game before that, Yorktown. But we only punted one time that game.
So your last... the varsity's last regular season game. You started in it.
Only playoff game.
And then y'all's one playoff game this year.
Sadly.
How'd you do in it?
I did good. I went 4-for-4. What was my personal best? Like a 7-2?
I think it was somewhere in that 7-2 range. I think the cool thing to me, because I was a big, is like I can get my head wrapped around how quickly the ball gets from your hand to the punter's hand, which is a lot of what this is. And the accuracy, but it was just awesome seeing you head hunting. Like, you are not afraid to get on down that field.
Well, that adrenaline dump gets to you.
I've got video. You're the only one down that field a couple of times.
Yeah, kind of sad.
How close did you come in the playoff, first punt of the game in the playoffs, how close did you come to causing and recovering a fumble?
I touched that football. I touched it. I didn't get it. they had a 2-punt returner set. The other one just, like, pushed me out of bounds when I was trying to pick it up.
Sure.
But I was this close. I caused a muff punt.
You did. It was awesome.
Yeah.
If this was a video podcast, this is where I would embed said video. But it is not. So y'all just have to take our word for it.
Or check him out on Twitter.
Ooh, or check him out on Twitter at Pippin_athlete.
28.
28?
Is there 28?
Yep.
Pippin_athlete. Yep. Also on Huddle, Matthew Pippin, Max Preps, Matthew Pippin, and you can go to Kohls, KOHLS, professionalcamps.com and look up 2028 Matthew Pippin. Pretty cool, though. Exciting. I'm excited that you get so excited about it, and it fits your personality so well. Like, you've always had fun being athletic, but picking up something that's a specialty within the sport and then just refusing to ever stop until you get as good at it as you can is totally your personality.
It's kind of the same reason I play catcher in baseball.
Yeah, for sure. Same reason you lock yourself in your room until you figure out how to play chess or the piano or bass guitar.
Shuffle.
That kind of stuff. Shuffle?
That's how I learned how to shuffle cards.
Oh, shuffle cards. Yep. Yeah, that kind of thought process. But we're excited, so we'll leave in a couple of days, head down to Panama City, Florida for the airbrush t-shirts. Get there in time for the seafood dinners. That's what I'm looking forward to. And then all day Saturday, all day Sunday, you'll be
snapping
with some of the best long snappers in the country and then being coached by some of the best long snapping coaches in the country. So that's awesome all the way around. Very excited for you. What do you think, Love?
Oh, I'm excited. I think it's such a cool opportunity that, you know, we definitely didn't have access to, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, no way. Yeah.
So, pretty cool.
Pretty cool. And now, like, you know, it's what you do with it now, right? Like, you don't get from, hey, here's this new thing to being as good as you are at it without it being a gift from God Almighty. Now it's, you know, your job is to keep working hard at it, right?
Yes, sir.
And so that's pretty awesome. I'm excited for you. All right. What else we think? We've done a little. We touched briefly on Carson Beck. Last week I said that the NIL is what is changing college football, which is not a shocker, but it's also, I think, not necessarily changing it for the best. Mom said she hopes that Beck's got a good supporting cast around him. Can we talk about that just for a second? It seems like the it's somewhere, because like last week I was a little negative about college football and your ability to influence athletes as a coach and all those things, and I think that still is very much true, but somewhere there's just some supporting cast for some of these athletes, because the amount of athletes that are thanking Jesus after a football game is high, or at least it feels that way, which is awesome. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All of Ohio State, maybe. All of Notre Dame, maybe.
Well, yeah, Notre Dame is because of their coach driving back Notre Dame traditions and practices that are tied to their faith of the institution. But, like, we can't forget, like, a lot of this pivot happened because of the OU softball team a couple years ago, right? Yeah. Like, I think they were the first in a long time of bold athletes stepping out and putting faith at its forefront and acknowledging why they've been successful.
Yeah, no, for sure. And doing it in, like, not even in a, like, a, hey, I did really well right here. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, which is awesome, right? But like the OU thing, to your point, that's a great example. It was, we're a better team because of our faith, which is a different message, right? It blew my mind. I hope I'm not wrong. I'm pretty sure that what I heard was Notre Dame's head coach converts to Catholicism and then reinstates some mass and some like Bible studies and stuff like that to the program, right? I think that's what I heard. How was that gone in the first place? You're at Notre Dame.
Well,
who pulls it?
I'm assuming the president, but we all know the AD has such a larger influence, especially in athletics. But I guess it'd be interesting to look at, do a trend analysis of previous football coaches and looking at their position, right, on their faith and how, what they influenced and what they didn't influence. I mean, it's all based on priorities of the program. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. I'm glad he put it back in. It obviously did not hurt. That's for sure. But it is mind boggling to me. When I was in high school before I went to Valwood, when I was at Valdosta, I cheat a little bit because I was at Valdosta as a real little fellow too, as like a ball boy and that kind of thing. But at camp, we had football camp at school for 2 weeks. You'd wake up early in the morning, eat breakfast, right? Go out, warm up, have your first practice of the day, come in, eat lunch, go to breakout sessions, right? There would be some downtime. Then you would go to your second practice of the day, lift, eat dinner. And then after that, you went to, like, we had Bible study at camp at a public high school every day. What are we doing?
We started prioritizing success in football and wins in football and just any sport in general. And we deprioritize what sports are meant for, which is helping people grow, helping young men and women become adults that have their priorities in line and have their life together. And we started going, hey, I like it whenever we win. So we started doing that. And then people started, hey, we're not going to do Bible study. We're gonna go watch film instead. And then eventually people got lazy and it was like, we're just gonna go home instead. And then people are coming back, they're bringing back that Bible study after practice, and people are starting to win, people are starting to turn their heads, because it helps your team, right? It helps your soul, helps your body, helps your mind. It's gonna correlate to the field.
We were the winningest at the time. That was the winningest high school football program in the country, in the nation. There was a time when the winningest football, like program with the most wins, was Notre Dame, Michigan, Valdosta High School. Isn't that mind-boggling? Right? And then you had a coach that, I mean, he carried his Bible around with him everywhere he went. It's public high school, right? Everywhere he went. And my argument is, name something else that takes, to say I'm a Christian, to say I follow Jesus, is to say that I'm not number one, right? I'm not number one. He's number one, right? There's a whole campaign, I am second, that kind of thought process. Who wouldn't want their players to be like, it's not all about me, it's all about we, you know? Like, you preach it all the time. We were at a school, because we've been at several, because we moved so much. We were at a school where the head coach would literally say to the football players, hey, there is no fill in the blank. There's no vulgar language on this team. Right? And then within 30 seconds, it's F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. What do you, you're a player. Like, I'm in the coach's world. Age-wise and everything else. You're the player. What do you learn from that? Like, am I just being an old-timer?
It sounds more like when your coach says, hey, no cussing, and then proceeds to cuss, it sounds more like they're just required to say that than it does that they're actually trying to prove it and preach it. It just sounds more like, okay, whatever. And then they go back to it.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me, and that's just the example I picked up. But the language one always, I used to say it cracks me up. I don't know if it cracks me up as much as people will say, because I say language to people all the time. One, when you cuss to me, it usually sounds stupid in the sentence, which is what drives me nuts, right? Like, make it make sense. If you don't make it make sense, what are you doing? And then two, when you're cussing, as just a rule of thumb, you can't make it through a sentence without some sort of vulgarity. When you call an adult on that, usually what you get is, man, who do you think you are? You're just trying to be too good, right? Well, the argument to that is, it's harder. You have to be more disciplined to not cuss. You see what I'm saying? Like, the argument can't be, hey, this is just how we talk here. This is how we get after it. My argument to you back is, we're better than that. Let's prove it. Right? Like, I don't have to learn to cuss. No baby has ever learned to cuss. Like, had to practice it. They didn't lock themselves in the room like you did to play chess to learn to cuss. It'll come out of you naturally. Like lying or anything else, right? It's the sin nature. You'll get it. But to not cuss is more difficult. Help me make that make sense, babe.
Yeah, I don't know that I need to. I think you've articulated it well. I think it's lazy communication, and it's a condition of your environment, right? And so when those around, you know, as we try to be different and hold ourselves to a higher standard, it is harder to not do that because everyone around you nowadays, especially even in professional environments, are using foul language. And it just seems like a lazy way of communicating. And frankly, it's just, to me, at our age and where we're at in our professional lives, when I hear it, it's almost, it's distracting from the content that's trying to be communicated.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's people do it, try to, for emotional inflection and shock and awe. And I think ultimately to try and be cool. But to me, it takes it in a different direction. And I almost lose track of what you're talking about because I'm confused of why that was brought up.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing, right? Like, especially if you're trying to get a point across, like, well, you've lost me because you've, like you said, more often than not, it doesn't fit or it's not necessary, right? Like, that's what frustrates me with comedians. Like, we were talking about the other night, like, man, you're so funny. Like, you don't need to say those words, right? Like,
yeah.
And I get it. Like, people don't, you know, people cuss and, you know, doesn't mean they're bad people, right? But man, why?
Yeah. No, it gets for sure. I don't know. I just feel weird about it, right? And like, there's been times in my life where I've cussed for sure. But I'm a veteran. I was in law enforcement for a long, long, long time. I've been around people that cuss for professionally, essentially, right? But to this day, like, if people came over to the house, if we were just having a get together and people were over the house, if I cussed in the sentence, even if everybody else was, if I cussed randomly in there, I'd feel weird, right? Like, almost like a
doesn't really feel right.
Yeah, a lot of people it feels so right. I don't know. Anyway, I just bring that up as just a Not to jump on the cussing bandwagon as much as just the discipline bandwagon, like self-discipline or whatever. So, I don't know. All right, here's my question to you then, sir. As far as that kind of thing goes, we were watching a playoff game the other day, college playoff game the other day, and a running back, it was like a sweep left or something like that, and a running back comes around the corner and just destroys. I'm pretty sure it was a safety coming up to stop the run. Just destroyed him on a block.
Oh, who was that?
He wasn't
Quinshon Judkins.
It might have been Judkins. But he was block. He was lead blocking.
He was a lead block on a end around or something like that.
Right. Destroys him. I mean, knocks him straight off his cleats. But the cool thing about that is he did, after he made this huge block, he didn't lose his mind. He just went on down the field and tried to pick up another block, right?
Well, he stayed on him a little bit.
Yeah, he made sure he was blocked. But he didn't jump around, point at himself, beat his chest, that kind of thing, right? It seems to me like that's positional more than anything else.
Like, what do you mean?
Defensive lineman comes through.
Oh, like it's a position thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A defensive lineman comes through, gets one paw on a quarterback. The quarterback's kind of knocked off guard a little bit. Quarterback regains himself, and he's sacked by the linebacker. That defensive lineman that got a paw on him is more than likely going to do some sort of dance.
Right.
Right? But offensive lineman, right, pulls on a, like a pin and pull and gets a beautiful block, drives somebody out, and we score a touchdown. That offensive lineman is more than likely going to go
to the running back.
To the running back. What where are we at?
Well, it's those, it's, you're more humbled at certain positions than you are. Because, like, if you're an O lineman, people don't point out and look at an offensive lineman and say, oh my goodness, he's great. Like, name, besides Georgia's offensive line, name like five O linemen in college football, right?
Yeah,
now.
No, I get your point. You can't, yeah.
And no one talks about it unless it's like long snappers. Have you ever heard of, like a fool of themselves long snapper?
No.
It's because no one says, oh my goodness, what a great job. No one really says anything to them unless they mess up. Once they mess up, then they're on them. So all they're taking in is criticism. It just feels different whenever you do something great.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think that someone could argue that if that is the case, then when they make a big play, they should really be all about them, right? Are you saying that the positional players, linemen, specialists, they know that it's not all about them?
They know it's not. Because what's a good kicker without a good holder? What's a good holder without a good long snapper? What's a good lineman without a running back? Yeah.
Yeah.
But running receivers and running backs, they don't, quarterbacks, well, some quarterbacks do, but they don't really see it that way. They see it as, I scored that touchdown. Look at me, I ran the ball in. Oh, linemen see it as, they just ran that football in, even though they made a semi-truck size hole for them to run through.
Right.
They don't see that.
So as a player then, let me ask you this, because I know the answer on my side, right? Like, this thing where we point first down every time we get a first down, right? One, it's not even frustrating anymore because it's so prevalent. But if you're on the field as a player and you're on defense and they're pointing first down, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
Yeah, a receiver goes in, let's say a receiver does a quick slant on a 3rd and 4, catches the ball for a 5-yard gain, he's going to point
first down. You're going to get those two hands,
they're going to go. Yeah, and point first down, right? One, that doesn't play in the psyche of the defense at all, right? At all. No defensive person's looking at that and going, ah, oh, that little dance there at the end, that's what got me, right?
Right.
So it's all about the receiver, all about him. It's all about me, right? But I think the opposite is true. I think that if you had a team that never pointed first down, right? What if you had a core of receivers that every time they made a big play or got a first down or did anything like that, they gave the ball to the ref and then pointed at their quarterback or their offensive line or nothing and went right back to the line of scrimmage? I think after a while, the defense that they're playing up against is going to be like, uh-oh.
Because they've been here before.
Yeah, this isn't much to them. They're just doing what they're doing. I guarantee it would be an uh-oh in film study. Guarantee it. What do you think?
I think so, but people don't see it that way. They wanna put the spotlight on them. They wanna say it's all about me because they like it when people tell them they're super good. They're never going to do that, because if it's, look at our team, as much as, which is why the good, really, really good teams don't do that. Really good teams, not, you can be, you can win the national championship, but you're not a good team.
Yeah.
You know, you have good athletes, you're not a good team.
Yeah.
But those really good teams, you see that, I mean, it's like the Chargers this year, they, last year was a very bad season for them. I know you probably don't watch the NFL, you probably know what I'm talking about.
No clue.
But this year, the only big names they have on their team is Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey.
I know
Ladd McConkey is doing, he's breaking records for a rookie wide receiver, or just like any receiver in general. But that's like it for their team. Yet they still made the playoffs this year. Should have beaten the Texans, but three interceptions kind of makes it a little hard for that. But they don't, it's not all about them. It's about the team. And it showed on the field. When they got going, they were going. But no one wants to do that anymore. It's like, it's all about me now.
Wouldn't it be, though? Like, what's lost in translation? Babe, I'll ask you this, too. Where did we lose it in translation that if you played lights out, right, if you got after and were really good, and let's just say, for easy math, let's just say you're a receiver in high school and you have 1,000 receiving yards, right? And never did you, let's say you had 1,000 receiving yards for with 16 touchdowns, and never once did you do a dance that just pointed at you, did all that kind of stuff. You didn't get any personal foul penalties or anything like that. Wouldn't the spotlight be on you just as much as if every time you do a silly dance and point at yourself and throw up a first down when you get a first down? You're the expert, babe.
I don't know about expert, but Ashton Gentry, right?
Yeah.
He didn't do it.
Good, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, and we talk about him, but what we talk about him is his performance. And when we talk about these other jokers, it's not their performance. It's their nonsensical behavior after said performance. And I don't know their names. So, but in the world of NIL, I think you have to do some of the showboating because of that. So, and then it's encouraged and probably incentivized by some sort. And then they're just follow. It all started in the NFL. So, and that's what they all want to aspire to be. So it's all connected that way. But it's disappointing because, similar to our conversation about cussing, it's distracting to the reason you're there and the content that we're should be focused on, which is your performance and the play. Yeah. That was should probably awesome. But the other thing that frustrates me, and you guys know this, is when there's like a turnover and the linemen are like pointing that it's the other way. And I'm like, well, thank goodness you're there, buddy. It's just so ridiculous. Like
a false start. When a false start and the defensive line points at the offensive line.
Yeah, like it
drives mom nuts.
It's so childish. And it's, you know, I'm sure it sways somebody. Sure. But foul on those refs if they're allowed to be swayed by that behavior, yeah, versus what actually happened. But
did y'all hear the interview with the running back from Ohio State after the game?
Oh, Sawyer?
Not Sawyer. The running back that got the stupid personal foul penalty.
Oh, no.
For the shove. Yep. Did y'all hear what he said after the game?
What he said?
No.
So early in the game, he shoves a defender out to the play that was in his face, probably running his mouth, whatever. Lost his cool, no discipline in the moment, and shoved him, got a 15-yard penalty, and it hurt him. It hurt him on the drive for sure. He said after the game, later in the game, he had a long run touchdown that was awesome and was a big, big momentum shift for them. After the game, he was interviewed, and they asked him about that penalty because it was so kind of egregious in the moment. And he said, hey, I just went over to the sideline and I prayed because I don't want to be that player. I don't want to be known as that player, but that's not who I am, and I don't want to be that. So I prayed. I repented. I asked God to forgive me, and then I kept playing football.
What? That's awesome. What a way to take ownership.
Took ownership, said, hey, I messed up. It hurt. It wasn't me. And in not being me, it hurt the team. It was not the face I wanted to put forward. And I talk about Jesus, so I didn't want people to be like, ah, that guy. You know? I didn't want to be a hypocrite, so this is what I did. I asked God for forgiveness. And here's the cool thing about that. In something that anyone could argue was little, right? Football in the big scheme of things, as far as life is concerned, is not the end-all, be-all. And even in the little things I repented, right? And then I went back and got back to work. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Oh, no. That was pretty cool. And then later on in the game, he just kept getting after it, didn't have any more silliness, and then just destroyed on a long run. It was great. It was great. What do you think about discipline, Matthew? Do you think that the more disciplined team, not just in the obvious, because you grew up in my house, the obvious with penalties and stuff like that, I'm just talking about from a visual standpoint, when you watch a team come out to warm up until, from that moment until the way they play in the game as far as sloppiness or all about me or false bravado, any of that stuff, does it make a difference in your team's mental game, if you will?
It most definitely does.
Yeah.
Because some mistakes are made as soon as you stop thinking about the team. Maybe that's the O-lineman in me thinking, but when I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do on this play, but I know what my left guard is supposed to do, and my center, my right guard, and my left tackle, all of them, they know what they're doing. You can figure it out from there. But as soon as I get big and I stop thinking about my team, I'm start thinking about me. I go, instead of thinking, oh, I need a pass block on this play, I think I need to go lay out somebody. And then the next thing you know, I have an illegal lineman downfield. I'm hurting the team. But you start thinking as a team, things will start clicking.
Yeah. Now, I used to tell coaches that were coaching with me, if we do our pregame the way I've coached the team to do the pregame, if we do it just like that, with discipline and not about ourselves, but we warm up the same way, we look the same way, we're loud the same way, we count off the same way, we do all that exactly the same, we're already up by a touchdown. Right? Because the other team is like, uh-oh.
There was a game we played this year, I think it was Chantilly, but we're doing our Herndon Jacks, which is when we spell out Herndon really loud when we're doing jumping jacks, and it's like the whole team and it's super loud.
Sure.
You can hear in the press box, whoever's operating the camera saying, we're going to lose this game, because that's what being a team does. They're already that demoralized because we said some words when we're doing jumping jacks.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there's a lot of people, not a lot, but there are people who would argue that I say falsely, that the people who showboat and do the dances and all that stuff, that's the people that are getting in the head of the opponent. I just don't think it's true. I mean, I realize I'm the old one in all this, but I think it's the other way around. But for me, especially, it is, and I grew up differently than you, but like, for me, it's the quiet one that I've got to watch out for, right? It's not, if you're running your mouth, you're not trouble for me. It's the one that's disciplined, quiet. If I go to war against that one, that's the one I got to watch out for, right? I mean, you never see a guard pull and he's just like, the whole time he's pulling, he's yelling, here I come. Like, that's a silly example, but you understand what I'm saying. It's the one that gets his head down and gets to work. That's the one you got to watch out for.
Uh-huh. Which one are you? Are you the one that does the dances and
no.
does all that stuff?
I can't dance.
Is that,
That's why. That's why you don't do it. He said he doesn't showboat because he can't dance.
I hope there's other reasons.
That does play off into everything else, though. I mean, it's easy for us for talking purposes to put it in the context of sports and to put it in the context of football, but it plays off into everything else. I mean, it's just how we do life. It's how we are in the classroom, how we are at school is too easy, right? The same kids that are running their mouth and showboating on the football field are the same kids that are being knuckleheads in the classroom, right?
Yeah.
Did I make that up?
No.
I went to practice one time this year, and one of your teammates was underneath a bleacher, laying down on his back with his head up in the air, drinking the water that was coming out of the water jug that was falling past the cup of his teammate. I guarantee you he does not do well in the the classroom.
What do you look like?
Nah, I'm not gonna put him on the spot because you already have a short list in your head.
I do.
Of the people, and you probably have a good guess as who it is, and that's my point.
I probably know who it is. I think I know who it is.
Sure. Sure. But that's my point, right? Well, one, it's childish, and I get that, and there's an age thing there, right? But two, if you're practicing to go to a little football battle, right? And you're at practice, and your preparation for that little battle is that silly, you ain't going to battle.
No, you ain't.
You ain't.
You're just high back one.
Yes, or
you're wide eyed and scared the whole time.
Please don't put me in. Please don't put me in. Please don't put me in. Yeah. And as soon as coach puts you in,
you die.
Or coach doesn't put you in, and as soon as the game's over with, you're like, man, I didn't get my shot.
Why didn't coach put me in? Dang it.
Because you're a knucklehead.
So mean to me.
Knucklehead.
So
yep.
Mean.
But there's knuckleheads everywhere, not just on the sports field. We gotta control what we can control and then try to help those around us, right?
Yes, sir.
The best way to do it. You don't have any knuckleheads to work with you.
Not a one.
Not a one.
Not a single knucklehead.
It's impressive. Me either. Do we edit that silence out, or we leave it?
No, I think we gotta leave it.
A little silence.
A little silence. If you don't have a knucklehead that works with you, you are the knucklehead. Maybe that's what it is.
That's it.
Maybe I'm the knucklehead. That's cool.
No, I don't. I think you know. I think you do have a knucklehead. I know. I think you know who you're thinking of.
Sure. Yeah.
Some places have more than one knucklehead.
Some places do. Yep. For sure. For sure. All right, who y'all have? Ohio State, Notre Dame. Will we have another podcast previous to that?
No.
So this one will go out Wednesday.
We're on the road.
We'll be on the road.
The game is on next Thursday, I think.
We are going to try our best to have Uncle Trey and Aunt Jessica on the next podcast, but we're not going to tell them because they are afraid to be on the podcast. So we'll send it out just like we always do. And if they listen this far into the podcast, then they'll know. But if they don't, that's on them. But they are very nervous.
Okay, the 20th is a big day for America.
Okay, what's going on the 20th?
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Okay.
The inauguration.
Okay.
College football playoff national championship.
Wow, that's right. That's right.
Big day.
Vice President-elect J.D. Vance was like, hey, maybe I go to my inauguration. Maybe I go watch Ohio State win the national championship.
I have Ohio State winning, yeah.
That was pretty funny. I also have the Ohio State winning the national championship, mostly because the Coons listened to every second of last podcast, and I'm not going to make them mad. And, yeah.
We need to have love the Coons. Mm-hmm.
We need to have them on and just apologize. But
I'm sorry, I haven't picked Ohio State yet.
On a serious note, though,
I had him first rounded.
Yeah, no, I did too.
I had Notre Dame getting first rounded.
Yeah, I did too. But on a serious note, it was because the reason we're picking Ohio State right now, we love Listen, we love Mr. Dan, but we're picking Ohio State because we truly think Ohio State's going to win. And if we thought that they weren't going to win, we wouldn't pick them. But, yeah.
Oh, they're a solid team.
They might win big. It might get ugly.
It might be another TCU Georgia situation.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. I think Notre Dame is playing as good as they can play, and I think that Ohio State took two or three steps back last game and still won.
They didn't play their best last
game. No.
Nowhere close.
And if they do play their best, I think it's going to be ugly. But that's just my guess. You have the same, babe?
I do. The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University. And then guess what? After that, what do we have? Shut down the podcast until next year so we can talk about college football again?
I don't know what we're talking about. We ain't watching college basketball.
Yeah, we are.
We are?
Yeah, Georgia's 14-2 for the first time maybe, what, since like... 2018 or something.
It's not even March yet. I didn't even know they played basketball before March.
Did y'all know that Georgia, who's 14-2, just beat number 6 Kentucky and number 17 Oklahoma, still has to win a ton of basketball games to even make it into.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
We're not even ranked.
College football's top 25 is so much easier to get into than basketball's top 25.
Not even ranked.
I know how UCF feels now from back in the day. I'm not going to make a national championship Georgia shirt, but still.
Speaking of that, are we making shirts this weekend?
Tie-dye.
It's not tie-dye. It's even better. It's airbrush.
Whoa. Like in the Walmarts? Remember they used to do airbrush shirts in Walmarts?
No, but I love that you're calling it Walmarts.
Well, Walmarts plural because it wasn't just one Walmart.
Okay.
The Walmarts.
The Walmart.
Are we airbrushing t-shirts, babe?
I hope so. I hope they still have it. I haven't been to PCB since 99, so.
Oh, yeah, big spring break 99, PCB.
PCB.
Had classmates run over themselves.
Ooh, can we talk about that?
In their own vehicle.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did they leave the vehicle and keep it in drive and they just ran themselves over?
Fell out of the vehicle.
And then ran over by the back wheels?
That's right. Yep. Alcohol is terrible.
Were you sober?
I was not there.
Oh.
Yeah. I was not there. I have been to Panama City Beach. I was not there.
On duty?
For PCB 99. Nope. Not even on duty. Yep. Pre-Jesus, been to Panama City Beach. But, where did we go? Oh, we were in Cancun. So.
Oh, yeah. Y'all were in Cancun.
Was not better. I'll tell
y'all went to Mexico for spring break. Sometimes I leave my house during spring break.
Spring break is different. We were like people who had friends back in the 90s like knew what they looked like.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. None of us had gamer tags.
Gamer tags?
Or
I know all my friends
gamer or phones.
Tags and their phone numbers.
Oh, we all had phone numbers.
That were attached to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
The yellow pages.
Yeah. Or mom's first cell phone number. I remember it was 912. Beep, 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 beep. It's still the same. Pretty cool.
Oh, you remember it by audio?
No, I was just beeping it out.
Oh, you were censoring it?
Yeah, that was my own censored podcast style. pagers. I had a pager. It was awesome.
You had a pager?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a fax machine in your room?
Not in my room.
Did you send each other faxes?
No, that's pretty hard, though. That would be cool. To this day, that'd be cool. You have a fax machine at work, love?
Mm-mm.
No. If you don't have one, they're done. When I was first in the Coast Guard, we still did green screen MS-DOS
computers. Oh, yeah.
That would be the same. Yep.
We just stopped doing a DOS medical system, within the last 5 years.
That's crazy. Crazy. Remember the huge printers that were so big they were on a table by themselves and they would shake the entire table?
And the paper was fed up through the box.
Fed up through the box, and it had the little holes in the side of it that you could rip off.
Perfect. The good old days. I ran payroll for Georgia Southern University on that type of paper. It was awesome.
Remember when Graham invented the telephone?
Yeah, I remember when Graham... and he was showing off, and he was all about himself, and he was doing his little dance. Whatever.
Look what I can do.
Yeah, Ma Bell slapped him. She was like, enough of that. Yeah, I remember. What other jokes you got?
Were you there when the asteroid killed the dinosaurs?
Yeah, that wasn't true.
No?
No.
Propaganda.
Yeah, it was fake news. Dinosaurs were not killed by asteroids.
No, you killed them.
Man's got to eat. You know? Man's got to eat. What else?
Did you sit next to Jesus in class?
No, Jesus was definitely before me.
Oh.
Yep, I did help Eli Whitney when he had a little trouble with the cotton gin, though.
Yeah?
Got it all squared away for him. So, it's good times.
What was the name of that one? I was going to say, do you remember... What was her name? She tried to fly around the world and then she disappeared.
She made it.
Amelia Earhart.
There we go. Yeah, very good.
That's a thing.
She made it. The problem was she was on all these tabloids afterwards and she was like, the heck with this. And then she called Mom. Mom was like, listen, we've got a place you can stay at. And she's been there ever since. She's still alive. Air Force veteran.
I thought they found her plane.
Amelia Earhart. Huh?
I thought they found her plane.
Do you think if they found her plane...
Or they found something, but they're like, oh, she died here.
Yeah, but do you think if they found it, it would stop them from looking? So it would be smart to give them a little something? Okay. I didn't say your mom was bad at what she does. You need to... If you're a woman aviator circumnavigating the globe... And you want to hide from paparazzi, call Mom. She's got you. Everybody knows that. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Man, everybody knows that.
Man, my bad.
Come on. If you want to be a railroad security guard in Jacksonville, Florida, you call me.
I thought that you were railroad security though, right? No. You're a private investigator for the railroad.
How can you be private for the railroad?
You were an investigator for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
I was. No, railroads used to be independent companies then.
No, you're overthinking two or three things. I did work for the railroad though, yes, for a while. In law enforcement, for sure.
What was the official title of your job?
I had a few.
Oh.
But you're thinking of Special Investigations Unit.
Whoa.
I know. I should have a cool little jingle for that. But it had nothing to do with Jacksonville, Florida, so.
Jacksonville, Florida was for Coast Guard?
Yeah.
Maybe it's on the coast.
Yeah, or in the swamp, as you like to say.
Did you ever guard the swamp? No, because it's on the coast.
Try to drain the swamp.
Did you?
Yeah. In 2020, tried to drain the swamp. I tell you what, though, when I was in the Coast Guard, I did do alligator hunt. I worked alligator hunts for the Coast Guard, and we used to do it in airboats in Ocala, Florida. And it was some of the most fun I ever had.
Is that where you like you get them on the hook and then you just like try to pull them in and someone shoots it?
Oh yeah, and alligator hunting is fun. But what I did was make sure that the people who were hunting the alligators were doing it legally,
and didn't die.
Yeah, but we did. We patrolled in airboats.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's the one with like the giant fan on the back.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. And those things scat. They go fast, and they go wherever they want. So it was a whole lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. What are we going to name today's episode? We've gone from...
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
That's a solid one. Do you know Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Does that ring a bell?
The show?
Hey!
Didn't she, like... She would, like, steal things? Or something like that? We're thinking of two different things... But I watched, when I was real little, the animated version reboot. But it was completely different. I guarantee you it was completely different.
It was animated when we watched it.
She was raised by thieves. Nope. Yep, we're thinking about two different things, aren't we? Babe? I watched the reboot on Netflix when I was like, Ellie's, when I was like,
it was cartoons when we watched it. Educational cartoons, right?
Educational cartoons.
Correct. Was it part of Reading Rainbow?
Oh, no, we're thinking of two completely different things.
No, it was part of, it was its own thing. It stood alone.
I think. I don't know.
It was a spy.
It was a spy. That's what I remember.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? All right. That'll be the name of episode 3, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? You can listen to this episode on Apple, Spotify. If you listen to it on Spotify, leave a comment about Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. That way I can figure out how to do that.
I hit the nail right on the head.
Okay.
With that one. I watched the Netflix review.
Is it a movie?
No, it's a show.
Maybe we need to watch it.
I don't know. It's for like kids. Like little kids.
No, it was for little kids because we were little when we watched it. All right, without cheating, how long have we been on this episode of the podcast? How long have we been sitting in the chair?
95 minutes.
Hour 10 minutes.
1 hour, 8 minutes.
I was so close. I was 2 minutes off.
You were. You keep talking and you'll be spot on.
I could have kept talking about Carmen San Diego.
And then, Santiago. Then when I edit, it goes down to like 52 minutes.
Oh, well.
That's all right. But I appreciate y'all. Thanks for doing this. What are you going to do next today?
Snap.
Going to snap. Get some snaps in and then we'll be...
I got to eat first.
Couple of days, we'll be headed down to Panama City, Florida for airbrush t-shirts and long snapping. They're right, love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Airbrush t-shirts and ball snapping.
It's a good name, too. Yep. All right. Hopefully next week we'll listen to the voice of Uncle Trey. It'll be great.
I'm sure he'd love to talk for an hour.
No, he would hate that. It'll be fun for the rest of us, though. All right. Love y'all. Thanks for doing this.
Love you.
Love you.
Signing off of episode 3 of Rocking Chair Ramblings.
Okay, there you go. So I heard maybe a microwave ding.
It's pretty loud, too.
Pins clipping.
Yeah.
Like clicking.
Just a little bit of background noise. Nothing too bad.
Background noise. Alicia sounded great, but you could tell when she came in and out. And then Matthew sounded like he was far away in a tunnel.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
So I will say this. If you did listen to the entire podcast, bless your heart. Thank you for listening, and we... we'll try to do better. We're not making any promises. We're just saying we'll try to do better.
We'll try. Doesn't mean it's going to be better, but we'll try.
And my promise to put one out by Wednesday of every week continues. I heard a stat the other day, buddy. Tell me what you think about this, that said something like 70-something percent or 80-something percent of podcasts don't make it past episode 7.
I think we can beat episode 7.
Yes, we're looking for 10.
Yeah, I think we can get to, that's what I was thinking.
10 would be nice. All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. Thank you for listening to Rocking Chair Ramblings episode 3. We'll head off to wrestling and then off to a fun weekend.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for helping me, buddy.
You're welcome.